This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing previews of the AFC East this week. The Miami Dolphins, a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, in the first year of Mike McDaniel, but streaky team. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Jason Sarney joins us, DolphinsWire.com, on the Miami Dolphins 2023 edition. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. Good morning to you.
From the local angle, from the guy that's close to the nucleus of this team, can you properly sort of give in context what last season was, the up and down flow of this team with Tua in and out of the lineup?
Well, last year showed the potential of what this team could be with a healthy Tua. Of course, we all know the issues that were the concussions, but when he was healthy and right, the team was clicking. And besides Tua, they also dealt with a number of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. So last year when things were right, they showed their abilities, but they did get hit with a significant injury bug even outside of the Tua situation.
How close was Tua to deciding to retire? We heard about that he was thinking about it, but he was committed to playing. Was there a balance there? Was there a touch and go situation during the season about his future with the NFL?
I don't think it got that deep. I definitely thought that there was truth to, you know, even Tua himself said that there were some doubts of where he was in his career. But Mike McDaniel, I think, really helped him in that regard. But the injury and the potential retirement, I never thought really held water. Even after the Cincinnati game, you know, he was on the plane with his teammates flying back, walking up and down the aisle, saying, you know, good game, how's everyone doing? You know, so I think it came a little, it was overblown a little bit to how deep that kind of went. But he's battling back from what last year was, and I think that we're going to see a much healthier, hopeful Tua this year.
What was surprising about Mike McDaniel? Was there anything that sort of caught your eye or the team as he navigated his first year as head coach?
The surprise, I guess, would be the knock I would have on McDaniel. And this is a rookie head coach where if you're going to name a couple of knocks, these are acceptable, and I'm curious to see how he rebounds from them. And I would think the reliance on the running game, sometimes he kind of deviated from that when it was working. Yeah. And maybe the play calling in certain areas and certain games and certain time frames of the game, maybe a little questionable. Same thing to be said with things like timeout usage or challenge flags. I believe the first challenge he won was the playoff game or even the week, 18 game to hopefully get into the playoffs. So it happened in January. You don't necessarily want to see that as your first winning challenge. So things like that, little tiny intangibles, that's where I want to see the improvement. But all else, I thought he did a heck of a job for a young rookie head coach.
All right, so the Dolphins get Tyreek Hill, and they go in the trade, and they get Bradley Chubb. And now they got Jalen Ramsey. There's talk about Dalvin Cook possibly joining the team. The philosophy of this team in a competitive AFC, are they doing something similar with the Rams, just like we're putting all our chips in as best we possibly can?
In that regard, absolutely. The differentiation there was they're doing this on the rookie quarterback contract with 2 years left of it. So, you know, the doom and gloom of this 2 year window closing with a disaster of a dead cap scenario looming for Miami, that's not the case because they're at about $8 million at dead cap now. And again, this season and next season, it looks like they're gonna still be under that quarterback contract for Tua. And that's the difference, is they're doing it with their rookie, not a guy that they brought in who they want to get that championship for and pay for it, which is what they did.
Is there any movement on the Dalvin Cook situation? Are they close? Is his agent still toying with like other teams to make him, to get somebody to act?
You know, from what we know now, and public out there, is that the Dolphins obviously put something in front. What Chris Greer is notorious for in terms of whether it be a positive or a negative is, he is fantastic at the game of metaphorical chicken. He is not going to be swerved at the pressure of a player, a market, an agent, what have you. So he's going to probably hold to the conviction of that number, knowing that Dalvin Cook and his camp has stated how much of a preference it would be to play in Miami. Of course, he could be doing that with the team to bring up the dollars for the Jets. because the Jets are another team rumored to have interest, and mutually so for the Dalvin Cook camp. So what they are doing as an agent and player combo, probably what they should do to play a team off another team, but it wouldn't shock me if the Dolphins do move away if it doesn't happen at the number that Greer wants, which is probably, my guess would be, around $6 or $7 million. If they have to go up a little bit, I don't see it above an $8 or $8.5 million. Seven is the sweet spot, I would say.
What's the grade right now on the running game? What do they have? What do you think? What level of it is currently on this roster?
You know, realistically, I'm going to give it a B-minus as it's currently structured. I'd kind of really be, a little bit of a wide-eyed individual if I gave it anything above, because there were issues last year. While if you look at the raw stats of just the Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert duo, and you take away the Chase Edmonds numbers, they combined for about a 4.6 yard per carry average, which is nice. But then you look at the times of the runs where you needed the first down, you needed the touchdown, 6 points as opposed to a 3-point attempt. You know, it's that the Dolphins have been deficient in for years. So a guy like a Dalvin Cook, while a luxury, he would add that red zone scoring threat, that third and short, fourth and short. All right, we're going to pick this up. We're not going to have to do an RPO or, you know, utilize Tua to make a quick hit reception, throw and catch, you know. So they need a guy like Cook to fill in those deficiencies of what they've lacked. I do think Mostert and Wilson grade out of the B-minus with Savon Ahmed and Miles Gaskin if they make the roster. But Devon Achane is an X-factor who could factor in as a receiver out of the backfield as well, kind of a slot player who can get timely rushes as well as targets.
Let's go to the defensive side, and Jalen Ramsey's acquisition is one thing, but how much of Vic Fangio coming in is a big deal to this defense?
I think it's massive. The talent on the defense is there for sure. The secondary is extremely talented. Last year, while they did have the continuity from, you didn't have Brian Flores, of course, running the defense or as a head coach. You had one of his disciples in Josh Boyer. And there were good aspects of what Josh Boyer can do, and there were negative aspects. But I don't think that the defense was called or ran as the Brian Flores scary defense that the Dolphins retained Boyer for. So Fangio is going to come in. He's going to bring in his own scheme, his own vision. And as he told Miami reporters when he was introduced, the year prior, this past season that he spent basically on a self-imposed sabbatical, as he called it, he wasn't on vacation. He was studying film. He's coming up with new schemes. So I think what we're going to see from Fangio is very good usage of his pieces, good coaching of the younger players that we haven't seen necessarily develop the way the Dolphins fan base has wanted just yet. And let's say, for example, rookie Channing Kindle, who didn't see much of the field at all. So you have a very, very good coach coming in with potentially a scheme that no one's seen that's going to utilize a lot of chess pieces that he has on this Dolphins defense, especially the secondary.
One of the reasons why I love doing these previews is because when we get guys like you on that are really there, I mean, you're watching every play and analyzing every what those outcomes of every play is that sometimes there's a different view from people from the outside who are kind of casually looking at the team, maybe seeing some highlights or just getting an overall feel. Did you feel last year that this team, with Tua healthy, was a major playoff team like people are projecting them to be now?
Oh, absolutely. Night and day. I mean, if you even look at the numbers, there was, once upon a time when the Dolphins were, rattling off their wins with a healthy Tua, he was number one in all things, quarterback rating, in yards per, air yards, per attempt, per reception. He was clicking, and he was going above what the pundits were saying is, oh, he's just throwing dump-off passes to Tariq Hill and J.M. Alum. Not the case whatsoever. He was putting the ball in the air. And when he was not in, and this even played the team 2 years ago, not really knocking backup quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett and Teddy Bridgewater, and even Skylar Thompson, but last year and the year prior, when you combine non-Tua starts, the Dolphins were 3-6 and 0-1 in the playoffs.
Jason, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope we can call on you again during the season.
Anytime. My pleasure. Have a great day and weekend.
You got it, my friend. Thank you. Jason Sarney, DolphinsWire.com, on a preview of the Miami Dolphins. And I think there's a couple of keys to take away. One, yep, they are like the Rams in that they find a player, they can get him, but they're doing it with a rookie contract in Tua Tagovailoa. They're not doing it like when Matt Stafford had his contract. They are doing it with ability to pay for some of these guys. We'll see where that comes down. But, yeah, look, sometimes you can watch a team and the devil's in the details, right? You can watch a team, and if you're focusing on every play, you see things that are different, and you see people saying, I like Miami this, I like Miami this, but it might be that you say, well, there's some things that I would be concerned about. But he flat out said, yes, Tua's healthy. This is a major, major playoff team. We'll talk more about that coming back as Wake Up Call continues.